You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Transgenderism? Transracialism? Is this entire world going insane? Well, if you think so, you have tuned in to
Transspecism is next.
Well, it's coming, Keith. That's right. If you think this world is insane, you have tuned in to the right program, and you're going to listen for the next 3 hours as we give it to them with both barrels, a strong and defiant voice of reason. This is the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, June the 13th, and I would ask you that if the insanity that grips our world is getting too much for you to bear, don't worry. We're here. We're going to provide you with leadership, and we invite you to join us in our radio show's chat room tonight so that you can enjoy conversation with other men and women of sound mind. And, of course, to do that, all you've got to do is go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and click over to our chat room or go directly to cfcc.org. That's the Council of Conservative Citizens. So either go to our website or cfcc.org, get in the chat room, and you'll know that you're not alone. And there's a lot of people, Keith, not alone if in our community, in our ever-growing audience. And a couple of letters that came in that I'd like to read. This one from Fred in Pickerington, Ohio. I always get a kick out of all of these places where political cesspool fans come from. But Fred in Pickerington, Ohio writes, "Greetings, James. I was born in 1942. I was a toddler in the 40s, a teenager in the 50s. In 1965, found me in South Vietnam with the U.S. Army's 1st Infantry Division. I was raised in an all-white European-American farming community. I remember attending the small church at the edge of town where cows grazed in the pasture behind the church. I remember baling hay on my uncle's farm on hot summer days. I remember the steam-powered freight trains as they would chug through town free of ugly graffiti. I remember ice cream socials and spending time with my grandparents. When I listen to the Political Cesspool radio program, I am sometimes taken back to those days when life was good. Fortunately, the hosts of the Political Cesspool have the courage to tell the truth and the will to persevere." Keith, one of the most meaningful letters I've gotten in a long time from Fred in Pickerington, Ohio. Fred, this show is for you. Welcome to the broadcast. We're happy to be here, and we're happy to give you inspiration.
Well, it points out something very important, James, and it's that liberalism, the triumph of liberalism, which began with the Brown decision on May the 17th, 1954, has basically been a detour into insanity for our culture and our civilization. And this man apparently hungers for the sanity and the normality of the old days, and that's what we represent. That's why we're paleoconservatives. We're really, probably a better name would be traditionalists. We are traditionalists that believe that the old America is better than this new cobbled together Frankenstein's monster called 2015 America is right.
Well, these are the guys that we fight for, and you know, we've certainly got a dynamic and multi-generational audience, but I value people like Fred as much as the teenagers and 20-year-olds and 20-somethings that tune into this show as well, and from all across the country and around the world, from every age group and economic demographic, people are tuning into this program tonight, again, to hear a voice of reason in a wicked and degenerate age. And this one comes in from John in Niles, Illinois, and I want to thank John. He was here for our 10-year anniversary party last fall, just a great friend of the program, but he writes with his most recent contribution, "James, as always, thank you for speaking for us. Your dedication and bravery makes me infinitely grateful. I hope to have something for you when I get my tax return. Nothing could be more appropriate than to give money from a government intent on destroying us to a program dedicated to saving us." That from John in Niles, Illinois. And Fred, I should mention, We read his email just a moment ago, or rather his letter that he mailed into us. Also sent a very nice and generous $25 contribution. Don't forget, folks, that our second quarter fundraising drive is underway, and we need your help to stay on the air. Join us in the chat room. We're ready to rock and roll tonight, and without further ado, we're going to go for it right now and jump directly into the frying pan. Transracialism. Another generous supporter of the program, Fred in South Carolina, tipped me off about this one, and it deals with a woman, and I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Rachel Dolezal. So here's the thing. Rachel is the president of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP, and she's the chair of the Spokane office of some police commission related to the Spokane Police Department, which is charged with investigating police misbehavior against Spokane's 1.9% black population. She's also a professor of African studies at Eastern Washington University. When a restaurant owner put up a sign that said, "I can't breathe," in token of the choking death of Eric Garner in New York City, Rachel responded with, "The strangling of Eric Garner's case reminds us of our cultural memory of the strangling through the nooses." So with all that street cred, as they would say in the hood, combined with her caramel-colored skin and blue eyes, Rachel Dolezal is the model black woman, Keith, except for the fact that she's white. Now listen to this. So transracialism. This is, we have a before and after picture of this woman, who is the head of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP. She looks like the actress Laura Linney, or at least she did. She has somehow, through special makeup, transformed herself into a caramel-looking woman. And she, you know, black women, their hair either looks kind of frizzed out or like rope. And she changed her hair from normal, straight, blonde-looking hair to this frizzy hair that you see on some black women, and she looks in passing like a biracial woman. Well, she made herself look like that. How exactly, we don't know. We don't want to know. But here's the thing. It just came out in somewhat of a scandal that this woman has parents, a mother and a father, who are lily white. And if you look at the picture of her before her self-imposed transformation, she's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white woman herself, but she transformed herself into a black woman. And here's the thing. If Bruce can be female, why can't she be black? This is the Brave New World. This is the destination, Keith, to which progress has taken us. Go ahead and take it from the top with your initial thoughts, and I'll let you know how this story with Rachel Dolezal thickens after hearing your opening salvo.
Well, as I said in our opening comments tonight, basically, liberalism represents a sharp leftward turn into the twilight zone for Western civilization and culture generally. People that try to define their race or their gender are basically in open rebellion against God. God determines whether you're man or female or whether you're black or white. People don't do that, but the left is so caught up in radical humanism that they are telling God that God made a mistake. I'm actually black, or I'm actually a woman when I'm a man, in the case of Caitlyn Jenner. This shows you exactly why there's no such thing as liberal Christianity. It's like holy sin, James.
Well, and a lot of these people, of course, wouldn't attribute anything to God. They have forsaken him to the utmost. But I'll tell you, we've got much more about Rachel Dolezal that you may not know yet, and we're going to hash that out when we come back after this first break. While you're waiting for us to return live tonight on your radio airwaves and via the internet, don't forget to join us in the chat room right now. Come on, come on, come on. CFCC.org. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're in the oasis right now. You are in a sanctuary of sound mind and thought here in the political cesspool, where you are reminded that you're not alone in thinking clearly on these issues. If you think that this story that we're talking about with this woman in Spokane is just absurd and abhorrent, well, you're right. If you think all of this nonsense referring to Bruce Jenner as a she now is just disgusting and perverted and illogical, of course you're right. Don't ever believe you're not. You are. And we're doing everything we can to popularize that again. Popularizing normalcy, that's what we do here on the Political Cesspool, and we do it very well because we've got a lot of friends and we've got a lot of enemies, and that's right where we want to be. You're not catching flack unless you're right over to the target, and we've been denounced by Congress this year for our truth-telling abilities and the ability to do it bigger and better than most, and we're very happy about our status on both sides of the aisle. But getting back to the story very quickly, Keith, so I don't know exactly why this story broke all of a sudden, because apparently this white woman, Rachel Dolezal, president of the NAACP Spokane chapter, has been pretending to be a black woman for some time now. I guess you could presume that some blacks caught on to her act and got upset that they weren't being properly represented there in their city office. But the story reads that she has claimed to be black through media interviews over the years and has portrayed herself physically and on social media as a woman of black African-American heritage. However, the story reads her parents, Ruth Ann and Larry Dolezal, who are both white and live in Montana, told the press that their daughter is not African-American, and they backed up that claim with a copy of her birth certificate and photos. And again, we've got recent photos of her just a couple of years ago where she's already an adult. And again, I say she looks like the actress Laura Linney, but since when does the truth matter? But here's the thing, two things about this. Here's what's in play here, Keith, and I'm going to toss it over to you, and I'm going to let you slam dunk this thing. I'm going to alley-oop it to you. if you read a little bit more into this story, you will find that while this girl, Rachel, was in her formative years, her parents, being the do-good liberals that they apparently must be, they adopted a black boy. So this was her brother. So that's one thing. So you know, this has become fashionable now with guilty white liberals and these
like
people.
The Tuies, for example.
Right, but they're just completely eaten up with pathological altruism. So this could be the psychological trauma manifesting itself. This, their biological daughter, Rachel, saw her birthright. You know, all this talk about white privilege. What is white privilege? I work hard for my middle class existence. Everything that I earn, everything that I am, will go to my children. And that's the way it should be. You know, if my children have any privilege from the upbringing that they've enjoyed, it's because I worked my ass off to give it to them. And that's how most white families are. That's where the privilege comes from, not because society prefers them. In fact, in this America, Obama's America, they hate them. Any privilege that whites get comes from the hard work that their parents and grandparents did on their behalf and passed it down to them, as I will pass it on to my children. But in cases like this, Rachel saw that her birthright, what was entitled to her, her inheritance, was going to this stranger.
And cowbird in the nest.
So that could be the psychological trauma of seeing this could be something in play. And also it has been written, Keith, that after she graduated from college, there were no jobs for her. She was another just recent college white girl graduate who couldn't get a job. And she found out that once she pretended to be black and painted herself black, talk about showing up in blackface, but once she painted herself as a black person and started pretending to be a black person, she got this nice paying job with the NAACP. The opportunities opened up. So between the job opportunities available to minorities who get preferential treatment and the psychological trauma of seeing her inheritance split with an adopted child of another race, you know, this could be things that played into her
metamorphosis.
Her
metamorphosis. It may be explicable in these terms. Black people, genuine, authentic black people, are so rare in places like Washington and Oregon.
1.9% in Spokane.
So consequently, they have to improvise. They have to make them up or something. But, you know, and it's no accident that places like this are the most liberal places in America, places that do not have actual minority presence there. Basically, liberalism is showing its true colors in these stories about Caitlyn Jenner and now this white NAACP head that insists that she's black. Liberalism is a mental disorder, just like Michael Savage said. This is what it is. It's abnormality. It's a departure from reality that you are required by political correctness to acknowledge and pay homage to. And if you don't, then you're intolerant. And as Hutton Gibson said on our show, basically they've dispensed with all of God's standards. The only sin now is intolerance. Intolerance is the only sin. And so consequently, you know, lying doesn't matter. Homosexuality doesn't matter. The fact that God, in God's word, which is the Bible if you're a Christian, approves of slavery but disapproves of homosexuality, if that were insisted upon clearly, as it should be, by our churches today, liberals would forsake the church. And as they well should, because basically their real true religion is liberalism, not Christianity. And liberals, and this is a perfect example of it, insist upon usurping the role of God. God is the one that assigns you your gender and your race. But they now feel that every individual has the right to determine their gender and their race. And it's absurd. But they are so strong and so filled with chutzpah, as the Jews say, by their successes through the techniques of cultural Marxism, particularly through what we complained about as being born of the Brown decision, the power of judicial review. They can defy common sense, they can defy the public will, and force down everybody's throat something that is totally nonsensical. And that's what they're doing now. They're basically showing us they can do anything. They can make us believe anything. They can make us bow our knee and pay obeisance to any absurdity, like these two individuals. And I've seen a picture of this woman. She looks like a slightly prettier version of Angela Davis back in the 60s.
Which picture are you talking about? So Keith has actually gone to our website. He's actually at our website right now as we sit in the studio. You see both of these pictures. How would you compare and contrast?
Well, the one on the left looks like Angela Davis, and the other one looks like the Swiss Miss on the cocoa box that you get. All she needs is braids, and she'd be a dead ringer for Heidi.
This sickness, Keith. I mean, I'm telling you. But here's the thing, and this is what you have to put your faith and hope in, ladies and gentlemen, knowing that we are still the majority. Now, listen, I know that the numbers are going in the wrong direction right now, but truly, the gatekeepers that control this cabal that we call the media are not that many. Just because all of the media speaks with one voice, you're talking about, you know, a couple of dozen people total control all of the media. So you're talking about a couple of dozen people control, you know, are speaking with one voice. They do not speak for America unless we allow them to by being passive and refusing to challenge what they are force feeding us.
It's the 3% ruling over and against the wishes of the 97%, but they control the microphone and the megaphone of media. This is what Jews have always done. Jews are the most liberal part of the white population.
Or the population that passes for white.
Exactly. We'll say it exactly as it should be, and that's what you did say. They don't consider themselves white, so we shouldn't either. But they do like to hide within the white identity from time to time. But this is what has happened to us because of their disproportionate control. We need to break out. You need to have a network or a media presence. That's what we are here at the Political Cesspool. We're a voice in the wilderness, James.
Well, we're going to ask some questions that have not been asked before in any of the coverage that Bruce Jenner has been receiving, and we're going to do it right after this break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen. Do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, one more thing about this story about Rachel Dolezal, the white woman pretending to be black and now the NAACP head in Spokane, Washington. What with its 1% black population. She's doing a lot of news now, or she's going to be sitting down for an interview, but a lot of news about her. We just got this detail from our producer from CNN.com. Apparently, her parents didn't just adopt one black child. They adopted three.
Four.
They had behavioral problems with three of them, so they had to send them back to foster care. They got booted back down to foster care. But the one that stuck, this their biological child, Rachel, became the guardian of, and she's been portraying him, her adopted brother, the one of the four who was able to stick with the family that didn't get booted out because of bad behavior. She's been portraying him, still not with the parents, but she's been portraying him as her son rather than her adopted brother. And so the plot thickens on all of this, but just to recap, Rachel Dolezal is born white, declares herself black, and becomes the president of the NAACP in Spokane. And she has her defenders. You know, here's this one woman who we've quoted on our website, Kalia Wright, writes in defense of Dolezal, "The color of your skin and your heritage has nothing to do with your race." What it comes down to, she writes, is what race do you consider yourself to be? Well, both of my parents list their race as Caucasian, yet I stopped identifying as white years ago. I'm not lying when I tell people that I'm black.
Well, look.
Come on, make sense of that for me.
I'll make perfect sense of it. I've also noticed on a parallel track that the left is trying to obliterate the race white as a possibility. They want to have everyone put themselves in the category of others so that there will be no incipient uprising of white power or white racial consciousness or white racial identity. And this is, you know, they're encouraging everybody, since being white is such a problem nowadays, people are going to opt out of being white, just like this woman. She's now has all the benefits of being black, affirmative action for job consideration and career promotion that a black person would get merely by deciding sua sponte that she is a white person. Now, Larry King several years ago said that his five-year-old son, probably of his seventh marriage or whatnot, no telling, and Larry King is Jewish, by the way, and a big liberal and a media personality.
Imagine.
He reported that his son wishes he was white, I mean black. He said there are lots of advantages to being black. And, you know, in the crazy upside-down world we live in today where intrinsic merit and objective abilities don't matter anymore, what matters is race, and furthermore, you get to choose your own flavor. It's like going into Baskin-Robbins, you know, you can get, it's like Outback Steakhouse, no rules, just right. Basically, people can decide what race they are, and the insanity that ensues from all of this is, you know, I'm just thinking about myself. Sam was saying over the break that he thought that he was, you know, he needed to be in the NBA. Well, I've decided that I'm actually 7 feet tall rather than 5.5 feet tall, and that I'm going to bring a discrimination suit against the NBA for not allowing me to a tryout or to play in the NBA. as a center because, actually, you know, it's an optical illusion. All my shots are getting blocked, I guess.
You're also 18 years old.
Yeah, I'm 18 years old, right. Yeah, and see, delusion is a new reality. That the left has just become totally untethered from reality, and they are encouraging people to be untethered from reality. They're usurping God's role. It's and they're in open rebellion against God and about reality.
Barring our eventual victory here, you know, barring the future when the political cesspool, you know, is able to effectively turn the moral rudder of this country and help us reclaim America's destiny, barring that eventual reality, you almost have to pray for a nuclear Armageddon, complete
annihilation
of humanity so that this farce can end. Because now we're getting to the point, again, this is the destination to which progress, so-called progress, obviously,
is leading us,
that race and gender have now become trivial accessories that can be changed on a whim depending on how a person feels on any given day. But I will say this about Rachel Dolezal. Her parents are 100% responsible for this. I would bet a dollar to a donut if they hadn't have inflicted upon her the psychological trauma of bringing in these four blacks into the family.
Racial strangers.
You know, that odds are good that she wouldn't have turned out the way she did. And let's face it, she's a train wreck. You know, there's no other way to say it. I'm not mad at her. I don't hate her. She's a train wreck. It's sad, but it is what it is, and that's all that it is.
Well, it's like the Tuies. You know, the Tuies brought a cowbird into their nest. Of course, they were doing it for very obvious reasons. They basically wanted to provide goodies for an athlete that were prohibited by the NCAA and by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association. They wanted to pay his way. Well, they adopted him. And then they could say, I'm the parent of Michael Orr. And as a result, I'm going to do for him everything that an over-the-top booster wants to do for a recruit. I can buy him a new car. I can buy him a new wardrobe. I can set him up in a swanky apartment. I can do everything I want to, and they can't complain anymore. That's how these grifters have used the leftist paradigm to totally do an end run on the rules. But we don't live in the Outback Steakhouse world where there's no rules just right. There are rules, and it's going to be up to the rest of us to tell the emperor that he has no clothes, that this is absurd. We're not going to accept it. We're not going to, for example, accept gay marriage. Gay marriage is an impossibility if you are wise enough to submit to God's natural order.
And listen, and I'll tell you this. You know, yes, as Christians, we submit to that, but if you just submit to natural order, period, or common decency, you know, from a biological perspective, it's a dead end. Everybody becomes a homosexual tomorrow. Humanity is pinched off at this generation. It is just a bad idea. Anything that doesn't produce life produces death. This is a culture of death. Homosexuality is wrong and morally reprehensible, whether or not you're a Christian or not, Keith.
And you know what? Notice one thing. The only people that are subject to this particular type of self-deception are white people. Third world people, Hispanics, blacks, others, Chinese, they aren't buying any of this. They're not going to accept any of this. And as a result, they're going to survive and we're going to perish unless we gain control of the rudder of the ship of state.
Well, I don't know what the percentage of homosexuals in Asia is, but I do know this, compared to the
white population.
Well,
they don't think that they're a homosexual man, at least, is not portrayed by the officials of China or Zimbabwe or anywhere else as actually being a woman.
Well, the blacks are definitely healthier on homosexuality than whites.
Well,
they're not called heroes.
And the Chinese, likewise, and the Hispanics. In fact, all of those people, have a healthy, understanding of what a man and a woman is, what a black person, what a Chinese person, what a Hispanic person, what a white person is. They're not subject to this deception. Only we are subject to this deception. Only we are punished for not towing the party line.
And Kevin McDonald talks about it, better than anyone else. He has diagnosed our affliction as pathological altruism, this thing that we strive for is social acceptance, And we can't be socially accepted in the minds of some of our weaklings or weak-minded people of our race unless we are parenting what we have ramrodded down our throats from the establishment media, which is completely dominated by the most radical of the left wing of our society, that being our Jewish friends.
And all non-white groups look at us and look at these contortions, these mental contortions we go through, and they laugh at us. They mock us. They say we're showing how degenerate we are and why we deserve to be supplanted in terms of being in charge of our own nations. We're just basically digging our own grave.
Well, folks, we've spent more time than I thought we would talking about the issue of transracialism. We're going to get back onto transgenderism with some fresh takes on this. I mean, yes, Bruce Jenner, I refuse to call him her or him Caitlyn. I mean, it's completely made up and ludicrous. But we got a fresh take on that. I always feel a little bit wrong to spend
have
any.
You, have you noticed something, though, James, about Caitlyn? Bruce Jenner was this pathetic individual.
Caitlyn's got the world. The world is her oyster. Now that you know, she will make more money. I mean, listen to us.
She has totally eclipsed the rest of the Kardashians. Instead of being the stupid cuckolded husband that he was when he was a male, now he's the rock star of the Kardashians.
Bruce will make more money as a drag queen with whatever time is left in his life. He's 65. He'll make more money as a drag queen for whatever years he has remaining than he made in the first 65 years. You wait and see.
And furthermore, he's going to be more important and more of a celebrity than the Kardashian women.
That's coming up in the second hour.
The real women in the Kardashian.
But coming up next, McKinney, Texas.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We are going to shift gears now and arrive at Destination McKinney, Texas. Another racial incident involving the police was in the news, of course, and it's making national news, even though there really isn't a story there at all. It seems that some teens, and we know what that's code word for, but a black mob, essentially, crashed a pool party in a private neighborhood, and violence erupted. Who could have guessed? The police were called, and a white officer was seen tackling a bikini-wearing youth, if you will. This caused the usual outrage from the usual suspects, and again, as I said, is now making national news. Scoop has been on this story, and he's going to give us the scoop right now. Scoop, take it away.
Thank you, James. Good evening, Cesspool family. To get a better idea of what happened in McKinney, Texas, we need to look at the town itself. The town is a suburb of Dallas with a population of 148,000, with 74% white population and a 10% black population. And a median income a median household income of over $80,000. Baltimore, it is not. Now, from the McKinney Police Department, on June 5th, 2015, at approximately 7:15 p.m., officers from the McKinney Police Department responded to a disturbance at the Craig Ranch North Community Pool. The initial call came in as a disturbance involving multiple juveniles at the location who do not live in the area or have permission to be there, refusing to leave. McKinney police received several additional calls related to this incident advising that juveniles were not actively fighting. What McKinney police did not mention was that there was a party at the private pool, was overrun with over 100 uninvited youths who did not belong to the pool nor lived in the area. The party promoter, Tatiana Roberts, was only allowed to bring in four friends to the pool according to pool rules. Some of the teens scaled the metal fence to gain entry. Lo and behold, fights broke out and police were called. First responding officers encountered a large crowd that refused to comply with police commands. Nine additional units responded to the scene. Officers were eventually able to gain control of the situation. One of those officers was Corporal Eric Casebolt. Casebolt was a McKinney officer for almost 10 years. Before that, Casebolt was a Texas State Trooper. Eric Casebolt was the officer in the video putting 15-year-old bikini-wearing Jeria Becton to the ground and drawing his pistol on two unarmed black teenagers. In the aftermath of this incident, Casebolt resigned immediately. McKinney Police Chief Greg Conley announced that to the world that Casebolt's actions were, quote, indefensible, unquote. Casebolt went into hiding as he and his family received death threats. The new Black Panther Party and National Islam paid a visit to McKinney. Now, here's what the left-wing media refuses to tell you. First, nobody is showing the whole video clip. It is over 7 minutes long, not 15 seconds, not 60 seconds. Second, McKinney Police Department was unprepared to handle a situation like this. Again, McKinney is not Baltimore, Ferguson, New York, Philadelphia, or Dallas. Those cops needed backup, and Casebolt was the only one who took charge of the scene. Third, the youth being told to get on the ground did not comply with a previous order to leave the area. Ms. Becton not only did not comply, but she was walking where the cops were holding the Sorley Gate Crashers, yelling at somebody she knows across the street and running her mouth to Copal Casebolt, which is a very good case of obstruction of justice. As Casebolt put Becton on the ground, her friends all crowded around the officer and the teenager. Casebolt pushed one of the teenagers out of his way, and then two black teenagers would come around to his right side, which happens to be his gun side. In obvious fear of his personal safety, he drew his weapon on the two males. Once the teens ran for cover, Casebolt holstered his weapons and paid attention back to Ms. Becton. Casebolt nor anyone else started to beat anyone, nor was anyone tossed around. For Officer Casebolt, this was his third call for help in 1 hour and 15 minutes of his shift. According to his lawyer, Casebolt had to console a widow whose husband had committed suicide by shooting himself in front of children. Then he had to talk to another teenager who had taken her own life. And then he had to respond to this incident. And Chief Connolly wants his man off his department. Well, God help us all. Back to you in the studio.
Scoop, let me say before I toss it over to Keith, excellent reporting and an excellent report tonight on the political cesspool about the situation in McKinney, Texas. And so basically what you've got here, I live in a neighborhood that has the neighborhood association. We have a pool in the middle of the neighborhood with a clubhouse, and there's never been a crime committed in this neighborhood. And let me tell you, the people who are in charge of this little fiefdom, the directors of the neighborhood association, they are on you like a narc if they think that you have snuck a guest into the pool. That's a big no-no. They have to have rules to enforce because they've got nothing better to do. That was not the case in McKinney, where dozens of people who did not live in the neighborhood, that were not invited and were not allowed to be in the private pool. This wasn't the YMCA. This wasn't some government facility. This was a private pool. You got dozens of these kids showing up uninvited. And, you know, fights starting to break out. So obviously the police are going to be called. Now, when you call the police about a big disturbance involving a mob, you know, who do you want to show up? Do you want Mr. Rogers to show up? No, you want a cop who could take control of the situation and try to get these people under control. Now, you know, there was two or three cops there. They're outnumbered, what, 100-3? You know, something like that. The blacks, these teenage blacks, were not listening to the orders, not obeying the orders of the police officers. And so this one who was mouthing, you know, you're talking about people running around. You don't know what's about to break out. Fights had already been reported between the youths, excuse me, and some of the people in the neighborhood. And so this guy doesn't know what to expect. And as you mentioned, he drew his gun, put it back in the holster after the threat was evaded. Now, he did tackle this one woman who repeatedly disobeyed his orders. Now, this isn't the situation that we had last week with Eddie Miller, you know, where he was on a public sidewalk, completely law-abiding, wasn't mouthing off. This is a totally different scenario entirely. And so, ultimately, here's my question to Keith. You know, should he have tackled the black woman? Maybe, maybe not. But is this a story worthy of national attention? Absolutely not. And should he have resigned or been forced to resign? And the answer is no. And I got another question for you. Where were the black parents? Now, I know putting the word black and parents into the same sentence can sometimes lead to an oxymoron. No black parents there. These people completely unsupervised in a neighborhood where they did not live and were not invited. And so this is the situation. But of course, the only narrative that can be the right narrative, according to our media, is that the evil white racist cops were just out to get these, you know, young innocent blacks who were just trying to go for a swim in the racist neighborhood.
Well, let me tell you, this again comes back to my favorite topic. This is more of the aftershocks of the Brown decision. You had a racially integrated public school system there where apparently one girl was having an end-of-the-year pool party for some of her friends. Apparently, some of the black children felt slighted because they weren't invited, so they decided to invite themselves. That's what happened here, at least as far as I can break it down. Then, you have to put yourself in the police officer's frame of mind. Again, you will see this portrayed as a police officer drawing his gun on unarmed black youth. You know, Black Lives Matter, blah, yada, yada, yada. Well, if you are being threatened by 10 or more black teenagers and you're a policeman and you have a gun, believe me, you better pull that gun on them or else they're going to overrun you, overwhelm you, take your gun from you, and probably kill you. That has happened. How many times have you seen these traffic stop videos that they had on cops and things like this where some police officer came up, tried to restrain himself from doing that, had his gun taken away from him, and he was shot and killed. Now, the real coward in this whole, and real villain as far as I see in this whole episode, is the police chief of McKinney, Texas.
There you go.
Who threw his officer under the bus because he wanted to save his pathetic job and his pathetic and wanted to be politically correct.
He sacrificed an officer, as Scoop reported, with 10 years of faithful service to the false gods of political correctness. And as I toss it back over to Scoop, I want to remind people to go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, where you can find the full 7-minute clip that Scoop referred to. You can see the whole thing from start to finish, the full 7-plus minutes. And you can even see, if I don't choke to death, you can even see a video before the 7-minute clip that prompted the phone call to the police department, which shows these black kids fighting with the white people who actually lived in the neighborhood and who were entitled to be at the private pool. Scoop, back to you.
Well, one of the reasons why there's so many kids that showed up was that there was social media saying that there was a party going on. Now, I had there's a conflicting report saying that there was an admission charge, there was not an admission charge. Also, there's a DJ there playing rap music with, you know, every expletive imaginable under the sun. So people were getting fed up, and they said, and then the youths that decided to climb the fence, they were fighting with the security guard at the pool. I mean, what kind of pool needs security other than public pools? If you remember 20-something years ago in New York, girls were getting groped by the youths. So Mayor David Dinkins had to post police officers at the pool. And then his infamous rap says, "Don't diss your sis." But, you know, time and time again, it's the same old, same old. Meanwhile, over in Dallas today, police snipers took out one individual that was going to wreak havoc. And I don't see the black community coming up in arms about this white guy who literally attacked police headquarters. But, you know, nobody said anything about that other than good job by Dallas PD, which they did do a good job.
But anyway, well, black lives matter, Scoop, but white lives apparently don't.
Right. Also, fake black lives matter. Back to Rachel real quick. I was watching, Melissa Harris Perry, who's also making a living being a victimhood. I was all set for her to go after the fake black lady. And guess what? Since both of them are make a living being victims, she praises woman. What? So that Mrs. Harris Perry is nuts. And also,
hey, you got to
leave, Miss. Go ahead.
Follow up on that next week, Scoop, because I want to hear your talk on that. But we're out of time. Thanks for your report. Transgenderism up next.